Hello, and welcome to A Fearless Marriage, your source for the latest tips and advice to build a happy, successful marriage. I am Leslie Dorries, and I'm your host. Today, we're continuing the series, 10 Resolutions to Make Your Marriage Better This Year. This series is my way to support you in your efforts to improve your marriage. It is my sincere wish for each of you to have a healthy, fulfilling relationship. By tackling one resolution a month, you will have an action plan to bring about the positive change in your marriage that you desire. As we continue the journey to making your marriage better, you may be feeling more challenged than you first anticipated. Last month's resolution, Let Go, was designed specifically to make you think and maybe to be a bit uncomfortable. Looking in the mirror at what you're bringing to the marriage table shifts the focus off your partner and back onto the one person with the power to change things up. As you start to do things differently, you invite your partner to do the same. This month's resolution, number 4 for those keeping track, puts the focus on what you do as a couple. The resolution challenge to be tackled is be present. You may be saying, "I am present. I'm here every day taking care of my family and keeping things moving forward." That is undoubtedly a true statement, but where your marriage is concerned, it may be an incomplete one. The challenge to be present doesn't just mean to be there physically, tackling the activities of day-to-day living. It means to be there emotionally and intellectually as well. It means not just hearing the words your partner is saying, but also listening for the underlying fears, vulnerabilities, challenges, and successes as well. To do this, you must slow down and focus your attention on each other. When you do this, you create the opportunity to really connect in a deep and meaningful way with each other. You might be asking, how is this different from resolution number 2, to be together? Isn't this the same thing, just in different words? Not exactly, though they are definitely related. Being present can happen both when you're alone and when you're with your partner. It's about removing the distractions and looking at what's really happening. It's about removing your preconceived lens and widening your scope. Let me give you an example. Several years ago, one of the couples that I was seeing was in a really, really bad place when they were in my office. And the weekend was coming up, and the wife had a weekend trip planned with her girlfriends. And she was really excited about it, but she was really, really angry at the same time. And when I asked her what the problem was, she said that her husband had turned to her and told her he didn't want her to go. Well, the lens that she had, because they were in such a bad place, was he was forbidding her from going. He turned to me and he said, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, I don't want her to go. But because of the lens that she had, she couldn't imagine that her husband would miss her. Because she wasn't present, she missed his softened tone and loving expression. They ended up having a fight that lasted about 2 weeks without talking to each other. So it was really a big mess, this lens that she had. Unfortunately, this happens all the time in our busy lives. We're trying to get so much done that we can miss what our partner really means, what's really important. One place that not being present can create challenges is in a couple's physical intimacy. Because of the way women's brains are wired, being receptive or in the mood is a function of where our brains happen to be. We can get so wrapped up in the needs of the kids or the household that we don't create an opportunity to be physical with our partners. For many women, sex becomes one more thing on the to-do list, something they just have to check off. They're just not really into it. For others, it's something that gets put off until everything else is finished. Lo help the poor man whose partner is distracted by all the things yet to be done, that list that we all keep running in our heads. And if a child cries, forget it. It's like a switch is turned off. That, by the way, is biological. It's to ensure the survival of our children. But it also means that women can create the opportunities to be physically intimate with their partner just by shifting their focus at appropriate times. In other words, by being present. Men too can benefit from being more present. Years ago, my husband was practically on the floor with laughter when he was reading an article in Parade magazine. The gist of the article was that if men wanted more sex, they needed to do the dishes. The point really was that they needed to take something off of their wives' plates. What did this mean? This meant that they had to know what was on their wives' plates to start with. So when men are present, they become more aware of what their partners are doing and what their partners are then open to. A lot of guys get confused because they interpret behaviors from their partner as a green light for sex before their partners are really ready. This creates a bigger challenge when it results in the women thinking that all the men want is to have sex, and then the women make sure that they're avoiding any possible situation where that might happen. If the guys just would slow down and pay attention to the subtle signs, in other words, be in the present, not jumping ahead to the bedroom, they will, most likely, have greater success in that area. As this conversation exhibits, being present with your partner correlates with being vulnerable. What do you think of when you hear that word, vulnerable? Most people think of weakness when they hear that word. Now, I'm from California, LA to be precise, so I'm used to being thought of as a bit off. But for me, vulnerability equates with strength. For me, it's impossible to be vulnerable if you aren't able to handle what could happen. Think of every police drama you've ever seen where a criminal is holding someone hostage. The police negotiator gets called in, and after a few back and forths on the bullhorn or the phone, the negotiator walks out into the middle of the street, takes his gun off, and puts it on the ground or the nearest police car, wherever it is he puts it. You may think he's crazy or that he's stupid, but one thing you don't think is that he's weak. He knows he could be shot at any moment, and sometimes he's right, but he does it anyway. That takes courage, and courage takes strength. Being present in your marriage takes courage. Looking into your partner's eyes and heart and letting them look into yours can be difficult. If it's been a while since you connected in this way, it may seem impossible. The good news is that you don't have to drop your guard completely at first. As you become more practiced at being present and being with your partner, and you learn that you can handle what you discover, it will become easier. But before I tell you how to do it, how to be present, you need to do some background work. So what I want you to do is press the pause button while you go and get either a paper and pen, or you pull out your smartphone or your iPad, because I want you to do a couple of exercises. Okay, now that you're back, what I want you to do is make two lists. The first list that I want you to do is all of those things that are going on in your house right now that distract you from being present with your partner. So these could be things like spending time on your smartphone, texting, watching television, doing social media. It could even be spending time with one of your children or all of your children as a way to not be present with your partner. So, now you've got that list. What I want you now to do is to write down those things, your internal things, your emotions that keep you from being present. Are you angry about something? Are you hurt? Are you resentful? Do you have some fears about actually being alone and intimately connected to your partner. So go ahead and write down those things, and I'll wait. Okay, what I want you to do is keep these lists handy as you go through the month and you practice being present. So the first step in learning to be present is to find or create times to be present with your partner. So pick one of those distractions that you have on that first list and pay really close attention to when you're doing it. Okay, we like to think that we can multitask, but we actually are really, really bad at it. All of the studies show that we really don't multitask. We just shift very quickly between two activities, and some of the attention gets lost. So you may think that you're really listening to your partner or that you're present when you're texting, but let me tell you, if you've got teenagers who do it to you, you know it's not true. You know they're busy texting with their friends and they're not paying the least bit of attention to you. The same thing is happening with you and your partner. So the first thing you want to do is that when your partner is talking to you, you want to stop what you're doing just for a moment. You want to look at their face and also see how they're holding their body. Is their face soft and loving and inviting? Is it harsh? Are they tense in any way in their bodies? Do they have their arms crossed? And I have to be really careful because when I work with my clients, I have to explain to them that my arms are crossed because I'm freezing. I have a tendency to be cold all the time. So having your arms crossed doesn't necessarily mean that you're not interested or not open to the person you're talking to, but you just want to make sure they're not cold. But you want to check out their body posture. Okay. The next thing you want to do is then you want to pay any attention to any discrepancy between what their words are saying and what their face and their body are showing you. Okay. The next thing is before you respond to them, you want to take a moment to process what you're experiencing. Okay. When you take into account, when you open up the lens and you look at the big picture of your partner, when you're really present with your partner, is it different from what you were expecting? If you've been together with your partner for a while, you probably have some assumptions about how they handle certain things or what they're thinking or how they're feeling. But if the point of this is to actually be present, pay attention, and see if what you're expecting is really what they're giving you. And then I want you to take a moment and note your reaction to it. Just, you don't have to write down anything, but you just want to pay attention to your own responses to it. I want you to do these three steps for a week. Just all you're doing is just practicing, noticing maybe some things that you hadn't noticed before. Okay. Then in week two, after you get used to being present and paying attention and opening up your lens, you want to start being aware of those differences in your expectations from what you're experiencing. And so you want to verify with your partner using I statements, making a comment or asking about what you're seeing, especially if it's an experience that's different, you know, if you're experiencing a discrepancy from the words. So an example might be your husband comes home from work, you ask how his day was, and he says it was fine. But his shoulders are slouched, and you know, he's kind of got a frown on his face, and he may have said that in a monotone. So what you could say is, it sounds like the day was really tough. Was it? So you want to check, you want to allow that you might be misinterpreting, that you might be wrong. So you want to allow for your partner to make any corrections to your observation. It may be that they are coming down with a bug or that they didn't sleep well the night before. So you always want to give your partner the opportunity to make any corrections. Okay. And again, after that little interaction, make note of how you feel. Week number 3, you want to increase the time you are intentionally present with your partner. As you've practiced through week 1 and 2, hopefully you've gotten more comfortable with what's been happening and how you're feeling. So the goal now is to aim for 20 to 30 minutes a day when you are focused on the two of you without those distractions. So the TV's off, the computer's put down, the children are in bed or they're doing their homework or they're off on their own. It's time you want to spend focused on your partner. And then week number 4, you want to take note of what distractions are still present when you're interacting. So go back to that original list that you had and see which ones you might still need to work on. And again, identify what hard emotions might still be present in your relationship that are blocking you from actually being able to be present with your partner. As you do this, it might be helpful to remind you to be present with a quote from the Dalai Lama that I actually think is a really, really, really terrific quote. What the Dalai Lama said was, "There are only 2 days in the year that nothing can be done. One is called yesterday, and the other is called tomorrow. Today is the right day to love, believe, do, and mostly to live." So, don't forget to join me next month when we take on another resolution. Let me know how it's going. Let me hear your success stories and let me know what challenges you might be having by clicking on the link below. I want to thank you for joining me today and letting me help you get your marriage to a great place. If you think someone you know could benefit from this information, send them a link or share it on your social networking sites. Until next time, I'm Leslie Dorries, helping you resolve to have a fearless marriage.